Will you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed, one could hardly plan it better than to have vicarage assignment services and call services during the week of the Good Shepherd. We have been treated this week to a number of sermons based on that theme, not the least of which was one last evening. There was a great temptation for me to preach on the alternate lesson for today, which was from 1 Peter chapter 5, that portion of 1 Peter that forms even the charge in the old agenda, at least, at the end of the ordination or installation service, that talks about the pastor being the shepherd and doing it willingly, and not for, love those words, filthy lucre. I thought, wow, what an opportunity. Then I thought this passage suggested reading from Ezekiel was indeed very appropriate and useful to all of us, including those of us who will not be receiving calls this evening. The picture of the lamb and the shepherd is throughout Scripture, starting literally in Genesis and ending with the Lamb on the throne in Revelation. And the picture slides, Jesus at one time being the gate to the pen, the shepherd, the Lamb. And all of it has a picture to it which comes out of covenant language. I will be your God and you will be my people. Ezekiel, prophet of the exile, speaking to the comfortable ones in Babylon and the hardened ones still in Jerusalem for at least part of the time. A prophecy which, if you read it, is rife with words of wrath and punishment, but also mixed in words of promise. And the climax to that promise, spoken particularly to the faithful and the believers, is the high point of the prophecy in the imagery of the shepherd and his sheep. So the promise that those that are in exile will return. More importantly, there will be a new Israel. And God, the Father, the shepherd, will send his one shepherd, fulfilled certainly in John 10 when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We have here among this wonderful words that he will establish a covenant of peace. What a peace, and what do we need? We also have been in exile, and we need also these words of peace. Peace, certainly, that Paul picks up in the fifth chapter of Romans when he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that says our sins are forgiven. And do we need to hear that? We ought never tire of hearing that. Even those of us who will receive calls this evening to be shepherds must also be able to easily slide back into the image of being sheep and appreciating that peace that was won for the lambs and the sheep. A peace that we need because, if I can change the imagery just slightly, that even though we have wandered the 99 times, the shepherd seeks us the 100th time. A peace that even though we won't give ourselves peace, because all the enemies raise up the old sins before us constantly, hear the shepherd giving us the peace by saying, I remember your sins no more. So that peace, which he established himself by a perfect life and a vicarious death and a triumphant resurrection, and brought us into that peace covenant with him in our baptisms, the word and sacrament, we have that marvelous covenant of peace that we need here once more this morning. But I would extend that peace farther than that. Because I don't see Jesus in the image going to the cliff or going to the bush and simply looking at the lamb and saying, peace, little lamb, and then turning his back. I see him picking up that lamb and carrying the lamb. We all know the picture well. I see him taking him back to streams of quiet waters, to green pastures, and taking care of other needs. This is the Jesus who not only gives Passover wine, but wedding wine. This is Jesus that says not only your sins are forgiven, but take up your bed and walk. This is a shepherd this morning that looks at us as sheep and is not unaware of what's going on in our lives. He's not unaware, for you who will receive calls tonight, that it is really a time of mixed emotions. Certainly it is a culmination, but there are fears. He's not unaware of families who thank God for this day, but who also wonder, when will we see the kids next? When will we see the grandchildren? He's a shepherd who is not unaware that during years of seminary training, things have been tough, relationships have been altered, finances have been strained, and he understands. He's a shepherd that is not unaware that you go out and take over sheep who, in the full imagery of sheep, can be cantankerous and dirty and nasty, but also the ones that he said he laid down his life for. He's a shepherd that offers us peace today. Peace that each one of us need take to heart. Peace knowing indeed that we have trusted our eternal welfare to him. that the victory is indeed won. That when Revelation pictures the Lamb sitting on the throne, the message is, the victory has been won. Why, Paul could say in Romans that all things work together for them that love him. My dear friends, if we are willing to trust that shepherd for our eternal welfare, how much more must we this morning be willing in faith to trust our very lives, our temporal lives also, to the Good Shepherd? Waiting indeed and living, knowing that at any time he can indeed say to us, my sheep hear my voice, I call them, and I give unto them eternal life. And so, my dear friends in Christ, may God through his word and sacrament reestablish that faith in us, strengthen that faith in us, that even in days of change and turmoil and high excitement, and yes, possibly some depression and disappointment, give us that confidence that he is indeed our good shepherd. He is the one shepherd. He is our God. We are his people. Listen to his voice. Amen.